Jesus said that as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. People are going to be just carrying on with normal everyday life until suddenly, God's intervention in human history is undeniable to all people everywhere. I pray that you will be those who are prepared and looking for His coming, and not those who are caught off guard. If you would please open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. This is God's Word. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by His blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace of God to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through Him, you believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the Word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the Word that was preached to you. May God add His blessing to this reading from His holy and inspired Word. I have not taught this, as best I can tell, since 2011. Ancient history to some of you. 2011, you were just little children. Other people are like, didn't we just do this? That's the old people. My grandmother used to get the newspaper from Statesville, North Carolina. She would open it up and hold her magnifying glass in her trembling hand and begin reading. After a few moments, and this was just a daily routine, after a few moments she would say, Jimmy, what day is this? And I would answer, and she'd say, well, that's the date on this paper, but I've already read this. When you're almost 100, all the news is old news. History repeats itself. I want you to understand something. If this is familiar to you, that's good. In 2 Peter, Peter's going to write and he's going to say, I want to remind you of what I've already told you. I'm going to tell you again and I want to keep on reminding you. It's important for me to do so. The reason is we need to keep this stuff in mind. All right? But I pray that as we go through 1 and 2 Peter in the coming days and weeks, I pray that as we do that, God will speak to your heart, as He has to mine, in a fresh way, and remind you of things that you're supposed to already know. But if we will remember what we are supposed to know, it will change the way that we live. So, to begin with, Peter writes, to God's elect, that means to those whom God has chosen. What a wonderful statement. What a great description. This is a collection of the prize winners, those who really have received something marvelous that we didn't earn. To God's elect, strangers in the world. On the one hand, we belong to Him. On the other hand, we don't belong here. This is not our place. Well, this is my Father's world. Yes, it is. But even though God owns it, this world system is in opposition to Him. And as a result, those who live in obedience to Him will find themselves over and over at odds with the culture around them. Doesn't matter which century you live in, doesn't matter which country you live in. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are on the narrow way. The traffic's headed the opposite way. The wide road that leads to destruction is not where you want to be. And so you will find yourself over and over and over again as an alien here. Stranger in this world. If everything's going your way, you're headed in the wrong direction. Is that clear? So, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by His blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. That is a wonderful, wonderful benediction. What a great blessing. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Whose? Those who've been chosen in Christ Jesus. Chosen for what? Chosen for obedience. God chose you to be obedient to Him. The broad way says, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to be my own boss. I'm going to have it my way. I deserve it. The narrow way says, thy will be done. I want your kingdom to come. I want you to have it your way, Lord. My delight is to do your will, Lord. So let me ask you, if we just freeze frame it right now, which road are you on? Not which road do you think you ought to be on, not which road do you aspire to be on. Is your aim to have it your way, or is your earnest desire to do the will of God, whatever that might be? I really enjoyed my time in Chennai, India. Had a wonderful time, but it was hot and it was humid and it was crowded, and I was glad I was visiting, not living there. Nothing against the people of Chennai, they were great. But I was very glad that it was a limited segment of time, and then I was going to be going back to the beautiful mountains of East Tennessee. And I had met with a young couple who were expressing their desire to do God's will. They were facing some major decisions about her career and his career. And I mean, it was important to them that whatever they do what God wanted. And I said, and they were like, you know, how do you make sure you end up where you're supposed to? I said, you write God a blank check every day. Every day, you just say, God, I'll do whatever you want. And you mean it. If you're willing to do whatever God wants, God will do whatever it takes to keep you where you're supposed to be. Don't worry about it. If you're willing to do the will of God, God will get you there. You're the sheep, He's the shepherd. The sheep doesn't go to the shepherd and say, hey, listen, I've got an idea. Okay? It's not the way it works. And sometimes He makes us lie down in green pastures. And it's like, well, I mean, this is nice. I mean, but I'm not sure this is really the will of God, because it's like it's really lush and there's grass and, you know, I'm well cared for. And I was thinking, you know, if you're going to follow Jesus, there's going to be sacrifice. Well, sometimes you have to get fattened up first. Okay? That's the way it works. So sometimes He makes you lie down in green pastures. And He leads you beside quiet waters. He leads you. And He causes you to walk in paths of righteousness for His namesake. He'll do it. He'll have you where you're supposed to be if you are His sheep and you're eager to do His will. Is that clear? So I'm telling these folks this. I've explained it to them, and they get it and they resonate. And oh, yes, thank you so much. And so we pray together. And immediately after that prayer, a man walks up to me and he tells me about the job that he's in and the fact that he has been praying that God would raise up someone to take that job. Okay? To be the headmaster of a very large, influential, prosperous school there in Chennai, India. And he said, when you were speaking this morning, I felt that the Lord told me to speak to you. Now, for a moment, in my confusion, the man's English was very good, but my brain is not so good. When he said that, I had this horrible, sickening feeling that he was about to propose that old me should be older his successor. Okay? Because he said, I've been praying God would raise up someone to take this for me because I need to pass the mantle to someone else. And as you were speaking, I felt the Lord told me to talk to you. So, vain person that I am, I thought, oh my word, he's going to ask me to be headmaster of this school in Chennai. And I just felt sick. Because the thought occurred to me, what if that's God's will? What if God wants you to spend the rest of your life in Chennai? Are you willing to do that? please, no. It's hot in Chennai. It's humid in Chennai. And air conditioning is not as ubiquitous, and you can't even go to McDonald's and get a hamburger. You can go to McDonald's and get a chicken sandwich. If I'm going to get a chicken sandwich, I'd rather get a whole collection of chicken pieces at KFC, which is where I did go in Chennai, twice to KFC. I would have gone more often, but other people wanted to go elsewhere some of the time. They wanted to eat Indian food. Can you believe that? I mean, you know, we're in India. Let's eat Indian food. And I'm like, even the KFC, you know, hot and spicy they have here in America. Not like that. I mean, their regular chicken at KFC was set your mouth on fire chicken. Okay? So, and then they have spicy. That's for people who just want to go ahead and burn the hair off the top of their head. Okay? So I'm standing there on the front porch of historic St. Andrew's Kirk, and this man said, I felt the Lord told me to speak to you. And I just said, okay, well, I want to do whatever God wants. Because I want to do whatever God wants. I certainly hope that God will be kind. Please don't hurt me. He went on to share with me that he's hoping his daughter will take over the position. But he wanted me to pray with them on the campus of their school, standing on the athletic field. I said, yes, I can do that. And we did, and it was glorious. It was wonderful. Quick story about that. Years ago, that man and his wife went to a meeting on the very large field that they have now acquired and turned into an athletic field for their school. And on that field, an evangelist who is an associate of Billy Graham was preaching. And this young couple had no financial resources, didn't look like anything. And India is a culture where caste is supposed to be illegal, but it's still very much in prevalence, and it certainly was back in the day when they went there. And the people who were running the meeting had certain seats for VIPs and other seats for the crowd at large. And for this couple, they didn't get to be in either place. They were taken to the area that had been roped off to be used as a toilet. Okay? I mean, literally, that's where people went to go to the bathroom. Just there on the ground. That's where they were given the opportunity to sit. That's not very nice. Well, Billy had nothing to do with it. But sitting in the toilet section, they got saved. And only God could have seen to it that decades later they would own that entire piece of property. And they would be able to develop it magnificently as an athletic complex that would not only be used by their enormous affluent school, but also by the community. Because as he said, even the children who can't afford to go to our school need to have a place to develop their athletic abilities. God gave me the privilege of going with him to pray. But let me tell you something. It would have been a privilege if God had asked me to be the headmaster of that school. Not that I'm regretting the fact he did not. But you see, God doesn't owe me anything. And the opportunity to serve him anywhere, anytime, is a privilege. So I'm grateful to God that I get to be where I am serving him here. But I'll tell you something. You've got to be willing to go anywhere, anytime, if you want to stay in the will of God. You've been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and sprinkling or cleansing by His blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. That's the intro. Then he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Get that. This is a gift. He has given us new birth through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that new birth is into a living hope, not just a wistful hope, not just, oh, well, yeah, I hope so. No, this is a confidence we have that is absolutely sure. We know God will finish what He started because He said so and He always keeps His promises. And so we have been given new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus rose from the dead. That just doesn't happen. I mean, somebody could have their heart stop and their respiration stop and be revived, but you know what happens to those folks? They die again. Well, no, sometimes they live for years. Yeah, and then they die again. No one else in all of history has ever come back to life, never to die again. Jesus is absolutely unique in that regard. He conquered death. He's alive right now, and you can know Him in a personal way. And through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we have been given, we who are in Christ, we who are the elect, who are chosen in Christ, we have been given a hope that does not fade away. This is what this opening section is about. In His great mercy, He's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that, please get these words, I mean every one of them matters, into an inheritance that can never perish. Doesn't mean, you know, and we really are hopeful. I buy fruit from the store and bring it home to my wife because she likes fresh fruit. If we don't eat it in a hurry, you know what it does? It grows mold, it turns brown, it just, yuck. This isn't like that. I mean, as wonderful as fresh is, enduring is a great quality. And this is an inheritance that can never perish. In other words, there's no way you can lose this. If you're in Christ, it's rock solid, guaranteed forever. Jesus said, no one can pluck them from my hand. Nobody. So you believe in once saved, always saved? Yes. I've known people before, and I mean, you know, they raised their hand, they went forward, they got baptized, they joined the church, and for a while it looked real good, and then they, you know, they just fell away, and I think they lost their salvation. No, Jesus said, I will say to them in that day, depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. That's not losing your salvation, you can't lose what you don't have. Well, they sure, for a while there, I mean, that this one man, he became a preacher. There are going to be lots of preachers in hell. Go back in that same passage where it says, depart from me, I never knew you. What they were saying to Jesus about why they thought they ought to get into heaven, among other things, is that they had gone out and prophesied in His name. You can be a preacher, you can be a deacon, you can be a Sunday school teacher, you can be a tither. You can stand up on top of the steeple and say, Jesus saves. It will not get you into heaven. You're not saved by what you do. And if you're thinking that you are, you're not saved. You need to get saved. The only hope for anybody, anywhere, is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So, for those who are in Christ, we have an inheritance that is incapable of perishing, spoiling, or fading. In other words, you can't lose. I mean, this is great news. Well, see, that I was afraid, you know, what if I mess up down the road? Put your trust in Jesus. Ask Him to keep you. Follow hard after Him. As I said earlier, write Him a blank check every day. Say, God, I don't know what You have in store, but whatever it is, I want to do what You want. I want Your will. That's all that matters to me. What else could? I mean, what could compare with doing the will of God? Well, I would like to be in a place with air conditioning. So would I. But, you know, the North Koreans may cause an EMP and we won't have air conditioning here either. Then what are you going to do? Man, I could have been in Chennai. We're going solar. Into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Who? Those who through faith are shielded by God's power. Did you hear that? Shielded by God's power. Worried about an EMP? An EMP cannot penetrate the shield of God's power. So you're saying an EMP could never knock out our power? Depends on which power you're talking about. If you're talking about what we get from TVA, yeah, we could lose our electricity. If you're talking about the power of God, who spoke the universe into being, who still heals the sick and still changes lives, no, nothing can touch us. We are kept by Him. God will accomplish His purpose in us and through us. What are we going to worry about? Nothing can touch us, even to take away our electricity, apart from the will of God. And if we were to lose our electricity, and I hope we don't, if we lost our electricity, God is working for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. It'll give us an opportunity to be a witness in the community about the fact that the things of this world are not what matter. Amen? We're not supposed to grieve as those who have no hope. We can still say, man, it's hot. Yes, it is. Sometimes. Shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. That's what's coming. Salvation. We're looking forward not to wrath, but to salvation. God is going to rescue us from all of our suffering, all of our sorrows. One day, every tear is going to be wiped away from the face of those who are in Christ Jesus. So, if you know that, verse 6 says, in this you greatly rejoice. I met a person on the train in India. I encouraged that person in the Lord. They were already a believer, but they were having a really tough time. I encouraged them in the Lord. That person went back, told her husband about what had happened. He saw me the following week on the same journey going the other way. Okay? He recognized me from the website because his wife had taken him to the website. He didn't come up and introduce himself until the following Sunday, But here's what he said about me. I have it in an email to prove it. We're going to tape it to my headstone. It says, he is a very jovial fellow. Well, what does that mean? Jovial? Are you familiar with that? That's like Santa Claus. You know, he laughed and his belly shook. Okay? I am delighted if people's perception of me is that I'm joyful. Because that means I'm being caught doing what I'm supposed to be doing. In this you greatly rejoice. Do you hear that? You greatly rejoice. It's not, and so you take comfort in this. No, you don't just take comfort. You're happy. Joyful. Rejoicing in the Lord. No matter what the circumstances are. On that train trip, I was killing mosquitoes left and right. I mean, I was. I offered a reward for people, anybody who could show me 5 mosquitoes that they'd killed on their hand. Okay? Let me tell you something. It doesn't have to get you down. Laugh about it. Rejoice. In this, you greatly rejoice. In what? In the fact that you know what's coming and it's going to be great. And so, in light of that, this is fine. The Bible compares it at times to a woman giving birth. Happy or sad occasion? Happy occasion. When we read about Jesus being born, it says the time came for her to be delivered. I thought it was the baby that got delivered. Well, not if you're the mom. Okay? The mom gets delivered too. Because she's been going around with this thing and now the baby's coming out and hallelujah. This is a joyful time. Doesn't it hurt? Of course it hurts. I've never seen a birth that didn't hurt. But it's still a joyful time because the baby's coming. This is great. Folks, in the end times, all kinds of bad stuff is going to be happening all over the world. It's going to be really, really bad. And if you don't know Jesus, it'll scare the wits out of you. But if you know Jesus, you know what's coming. Salvation, deliverance, freedom. We look forward to the future because we know who's in control of the future. And so when circumstances are difficult, painful, scary, we hold on to the promises of God. Because we know God is in control. In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. He's not saying, and in this you greatly rejoice, because you know that you're not going to have to go through hard times. He says, no, you're going through hard times. Now, for a little while, it's temporary. You may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. All kinds of things. But it's for a little while. No, this has been going on for 11 years. 11 years, really? Well, I know that seems like a long time. But let me tell you, in the grand scheme of things, unless you're 11 years old, that's not a long time. Okay? Do you understand? If I live to be 100 and my whole life was filled with pain and suffering, still a short time. The lifespan of humans is a short time. The Bible reminds us of that. We need to know it goes by so quickly. You just can't imagine. You're sitting here and you're thinking, golly, this hour is not passing quickly. Please understand this. Time gets distorted based on our feelings. But the fact of the matter is the seconds are ticking away, the minutes are ticking away, the hours are going by. And what's really going to matter is what happens after we take our last breath. You're going to spend forever somewhere. Forever. No end, no exit. Person who kills himself thinking he's going to find relief, what's he going to do on the other side to get relief? There's no out from there. What matters is your relationship with God. So, now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. That's the purpose of the trials. The reason for the trials is so that your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And you know what it says about your faith? It says it's of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire. Your faith is worth more than gold. So, don't sell out. How many people have compromised because of money? I was on the phone last night with a Christian organization trying to raise money from me. They must have a bad list. But they wanted to know if I would give. And I said no. And I said, and I'll tell you why. And I described my concerns about some things going on in their organization. And the guy who'd called to raise the money said, well, thank you for sharing that. Taking off my fundraising hat, I have to tell you the truth. I agree with you. What's the problem at that place? They know what's right, they say what's right, but they're not doing what's right because they're afraid they'll lose money. And they want me to help support it? No way, Jose. Not a chance. So, your faith is worth more than gold. You hold on to your faith. Let them keep the gold. Gold, even though refined by fire, still perishes. And you've been bought with something more valuable than gold. Look over in verse 18. We're not going to get there today, but look over in verse 18. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. God has bought you with the blood of Jesus. That's how precious you are to Him. You've been purchased with something more valuable than gold, and your faith is worth more than gold. So, these trials have come so that your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Verse 8, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. I pray that that's true of you. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. You might even appear jovial to people. You understand? Why? Because you're joyful. Why are you joyful? Because of circumstances? No, because of the hope that is within you. You know that wherever you are in the world, you are His. You may be scattered in Bithynia or Cappadocia or Pontus or Galatia. Doesn't matter. Wherever you are. If you are in the will of God, you're doing fine. That's all that matters. So, you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls. Hallelujah! Yes, this makes me very happy too. Come on! Rejoice in the Lord, always! I'll say it again, rejoice! We have reason to celebrate. No, I'm not feeling very well. I'm not either. My allergies are really bugging me. But you know, no biggie. Because soon, the rain will have washed the pollen down onto the ground and into the streams, and I'll be able to breathe for hours. And the sun will come out, and the plants will put out more pollen, and I'll be taking more Benadryl, and it's all good. Just rejoice! I love these plants. If you had the option of living in a place where there was nothing like this, none of this green stuff, it was just desert? Sorry, bronze. Anywhere in the will of God is good. Anywhere in the will of God is good. Let me tell you, and it's all temporary. It's all temporary. If I come to visit you in 50 years, I'll bet you won't be there. Right? Praise the Lord. And I won't be here in 50 years. I love this place. I love living here. But man, this can't compare to where I'm headed. I'm going someplace that is going to be so magnificent, they use gold for paving. Okay? The stuff that's counted so valuable in this world, no big deal there. No big deal. Rejoice. Rejoice. You have reason to rejoice. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the truth of the gospel. The fact that in Christ Jesus we have been given an inheritance that can never perish, can't fade away, can't spoil, can't be lost. It's ours in Christ because of what He has done. And so we come to you in Jesus' name and we give you thanks. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We are grateful. You are kind. Help us this day to live as your children, strangers in this world, but rejoicing in you, because we know how the story ends. And so we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.